on this Easter Sunday. Welcome in. Excited and proud to be able to spend the next 15 minutes with the president of Monroe Community College, Dr. Ann Kress, is with us. Always a pleasure when I can sit down and spend 15 minutes with you, Dr. Kress. And as we hit the new month, we are, I guess we're beginning to wind down the school year. Do you look at it that way, April?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. First of all, thank you so much for having me back. I'm delighted to be here. And it is, we're heading toward the home stretch, we like to refer to it as, of the term. You know, things are winding down. The classes are sort of coming to their natural conclusion. Our commencement will be May 30th. So we're really excited about that. It's the best day of the year, certainly at MCC. When you see students cross that stage at graduation, there's nothing like it. So we're really excited also for spring after this long winter. I think everyone, you can already feel the energy rising on campus. Just because of the change. Yes, absolutely.
Sure,
and we've got some new neighbors at our new downtown campus who are interested in baseball.
I do want to, of course. And that, you know, and it's funny because we're going to talk about the new facility over here at Kodak. And you got to make sure that none of the classrooms look into Frontier Field because it'll be the distraction element there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, you had a tour, another update on what's going on over there and what'll be the new campus. I didn't get a chance to attend that one, but I have been in the space. It's amazing what MCC is moving into there.
Truly, truly. And what's remarkable is to see the drawings of the new campus, and they're available on our website, www.monroecc.edu. You'll find a link to the downtown campus on there. And what you'll see is a complete transformation of what used to be part of Kodak's international headquarters is now MCC's campus. You can clearly see that when you look at the visuals. You can see the life that will be in that campus. You can see how the space is being renovated into 21st century learning environments that will support our students, whether their goals are transferred to university or moving directly into the workforce. It really is going to be a beacon here.
What is the timetable? When will we begin to see some work being done? And when will we have new neighbors?
You'll begin to see some work done really heading into the fall of this year. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be moving in over the summer of 2017 to have our first classes there in fall of 2017. So we're very much looking forward to that date. It seems far away, but in reality, when you think about planning and design and construction, it's really tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Well, it'll come before you know it. And we'll be looking back at this day and going, wow, already.
Yeah.
Now, how ready is that building? How shovel ready is it for you? How much work has to be done? I mean, Kodak had one of everything in the, you know, in the heyday. Is there stuff in that building that you can use? Are there facilities that you can use, or do you have to do a whole new build out?
Sure. Well, the bones of that building are incredible. There are incredible assets in there already. Great elevators, great wide stairwells, certainly wonderful parking. Mm-hmm. But when we come to the interior of the building, we're really looking at gutting what's there and creating a true campus so that when students enter in, they won't think, oh, I'm going to an old Kodak office building. They'll know that it's MCC's new downtown campus. It will have space for a bookstore, for a cafeteria, for food service. It will have a grand stairway that leads to study spaces for students so that they can actually get together inside the campus. It will have light and technology, everything that our students deserve.
The thing we're looking forward to here at High Falls, it'll bring life to our neighborhood. And that's huge from the neighborhood standpoint.
Absolutely. And we are excited about being very good neighbors to everyone in High Falls. We've already been engaged with the High Falls Business Association and Business District in regular meetings, talking with them about, you know, what can MCC do to be the very best neighbor? We're very interested in our students being those good feet on the street, as well as our faculty and staff, so that they become part of this neighborhood, that they patronize the businesses that are here. We're also hoping that our relocation will spur growth for existing businesses and even new businesses.
One of the things we talked about last time you were here was speaking with Ann Kress, the president of Monroe Community College. You said that it'll be an older crowd that'll be going to attending classes here. It won't be your typical fresh out of high school kids. Is that is that still the case, do you think?
Sure. The
I don't mean to use the word older, but you know more mature, shall we say.
Well, I just had a birthday, so you can use the word older with me. But what I would say is when you look at the demographics of our downtown campus, you see that it's a majority-minority campus. It's also a majority-female campus. It is an older campus in terms of average student age than you might see in a typical college setting, to be sure, but also at the Brighton campus. So you're going to see an average student age that's, you know, closer to the high 20s than, you know, the high teens, for example. And what does that mean? It means that these are responsible students. It means that they really have thought through what college means to them, what they want to get out of this process. They're dedicated, they're committed, and they're coming to MCC with a sense of purpose. And I think that's exactly what you'll see in the campus reflected there. You'll see us supporting them and moving forward to their hopes and dreams and aspirations.
How many students will you be able to handle over there? How many do you expect to have? I don't know if you can look down the road to 2017.
Sure.
But can you estimate how many will be there compared to how many are at the downtown campus now?
We'll probably start with about the same number, which is about 3,000 students. So for your listeners, if you want to think, that's actually about the size of Nazareth, for example. But we really see an opportunity to grow, especially among non-traditional students, students for whom proximity is very, very important. They can't go to college unless it's very close. What we'll be able to do with our new downtown campus will be things we aren't currently able to do at the location. More weekend classes, more evening classes, more non-traditional services that we offer students so that they can be successful. So we're really looking for that population to grow.
And in terms of infrastructure, you have the Kodak parking lots. I understand that those will be, there's a great parking facility assigned to you. What will happen in terms of RTS? Have you spoken with them about, you know, getting people to be able to just drop them off in front of the campus?
Absolutely. From the very beginning of this design process, so years ago, really, at this point, we've been engaged with RGRTA around bus service. We've also been in discussions with the folks around High Falls around, you know, what concerns do you have currently with RTS service? Is there any way that we can partner with you in discussions with RGRTA to make sure that when we go forward, we mitigate any of those concerns? So we're very excited. And they've been wonderful partners around the table.
Well, Bill Carpenter and the folks at RGRTA put out that survey recently in conjunction with the new downtown terminal, and they seem ready, willing, and able to do what they have to do to serve everyone, especially with parking and things of that sort. So I'm glad to hear that you're working with them, because that'll be a big part of it, getting people to and from the campus.
Yeah. And our students are a strong population base for them as well. And if we're able to grow the population that comes to the new downtown campus, that also increases their ridership, which is, it's a rising tide that lifts all boats.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I like that. We're talking about population. I saw some numbers that said enrollment at MCC is down. Lots of reasons for it. What do you think the key reasons are?
Sure. And it's not just at MCC. It's community colleges in general, across the country, across the state. And the biggest reason is actually a positive one for our students, which is that our enrollment runs countercyclical to the economy. So in layperson's terms, it means when folks can find jobs, they will. And they'll put off going to college because earning an income is most important to them. The majority of our students, they're coming to community colleges for a very simple reason. We're highly affordable and we're highly accessible. And so these are the same students who are also looking for employment. So we recognize that and we plan for it. So it's not a big surprise to us that our enrollment is actually declining. And we certainly wouldn't want our students not to be able to find jobs just so our enrollment would increase.
Yeah. And one of the things I heard was that the demographic has changed a little bit. There aren't as many people in the pool that are ready to go to community college. Is that correct?
Well, one of the things we see, especially in Western New York, is demography is not in the favor right now of our section of the state. You know, we see fewer young people. I mean, this is one of the things that the Regional Economic Development Councils are very interested in, because the goal is to attract more employers, to attract more young people, to stay and to grow their families. So demography is a challenge for us. But the other thing we're looking at is a non-traditional student. So there's a huge proportion of student or potential students in this community who have some college but no credential. So it means that if they were to show up here, they'd be able to show you a bunch of college transcripts but no actual degree or certificate. And so we want to reach out to those individuals and figure out how we can help them achieve what they're looking for, which is really that ticket to move into the job of their dreams.
So when you come right down to it, there's no blame to be handed out here. It's just the way things are right now.
Yeah, and it's not just in community colleges either. There's incredible enrollment crunch at colleges and universities across the country. It's a topic number one when presidents get together, certainly when administrators get together as well.
When enrollment is down, how does that affect everything inside the walls of the building, whether it be budgets, whether it be morale, whether it be vibe? Do you sense those things? Is it affected by
Sure. It has different impacts on different populations. One of the things I will say is that when enrollment goes down, we actually sometimes see that student performance goes up because the folks who are coming to college are very intentional about their process. So ironically, when our numbers in terms of enrollment go down, our numbers in terms of success go up. So we're seeing that trend already. We're seeing an increase in graduation rates. We're seeing a decrease in student cohort default rates. So we're seeing students who are borrowing much more responsibly in terms of their college education. But then we also see that students are voting with their feet in very different ways. Even in an enrollment downturn, we're seeing growth in career and technical education programs. Students are really starting to understand that, hey, if I go in this particular degree path, at the end of a year or 2 years, I can find a job that'll help me move into the middle class. So we're seeing strength still there. But there are other areas where there are challenges. And certainly we work with those departments and we work with those faculty. But, you know, it wouldn't be factual to say that there isn't some disappointment.
So there has to be a little bit of a budget crunch, I would imagine. People have to, I mean, it happens in every business. Oh, you got to tighten the belt somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we look at efficiencies. And what's nice is that it offers us the opportunity to not just look at efficiencies around cost savings, but also efficiencies in how do we serve our students. So is it there a way to streamline processes so that life is easier for our students when they come to MCC? So again, you know, you never waste one of these opportunities. You really want to make sure that at the end you're coming out the best college, the best organization, so that you're really serving the students that you know are coming to your college to really move forward in life.
Of course, they come first.
Yes, yeah. always.
I want to talk with you about the initiative from the White House a couple months ago, I guess, now where President Obama wants to provide those who want to go to community college the chance to go for free, basically. A lot of people say, hey, what a great idea. But there are lots of people who go, I don't think it's a good idea. Either they don't understand it or they just disagree with the concept. Sell that person on why it is a good idea.
Sure. And I would start with the basic principle that the community college degree or certificate is really the new high school diploma. It is the entry ticket into any sort of job or career. When you look at what's happened since the recession, the jobs that have never come back are the jobs that require just a high school diploma. And so I think what the president has recognized is that in order to make opportunity accessible to the full diversity of our country, we really need to look at what educational credentials are required and make sure that folks have the opportunity. Now, this isn't free for all. It's been very, very clear that there are GPA requirements. There's a dedication requirement. You need to be committed. And on the college's end, there's been a commitment to accountability. So we recognize that if someone were to make this huge an investment in us, we have to show what is the return on that investment? How are we serving students? How are we connecting with business and industry so that we know that the degrees that we are producing are connected to the outcomes that they're looking for? Or how are we connecting with four-year colleges and universities to make sure that our grads are successful at the other end? So it is an intentional investment.
So if I have a friend named Cynthia who wants to, you know, she's working full-time, she sees this as an opportunity to maybe better her education, bone up on something she maybe didn't get a chance to finish up on. How can she make this work? I mean, what you talked about minimums and requirements.
Sure.
Can she do it while she's working, or do you have to?
Absolutely. Yeah. The proposal would be for full and part-time students. Uh-huh. And I think that's an important recognition of the students that we serve. Many of our students, as I mentioned before, if they have an opportunity to earn an income to support their family, they will take that job. And we value them for that. That shows a work ethic that we would want to support them coming back to school and furthering their education. The reality is we all benefit when that happens. And let me just give you some figures. So for every dollar that a student currently invests right now at MCC, that student's going to see over $8 in future earnings, $8. But importantly, it's not just the student who benefits. Our taxpayers see a return of over 8% as well. We see an increase in the tax base in this community. 90% of the students who graduate and seek full-time employment in career and technical education fields use their degrees from MCC for that employment, and they stay in our region. So we all benefit. And I think that's one of the things the president has recognized as well, is that community college students are community students. They stay local. So if we can invest in them, we're actually meeting the needs of our local business and industry. We're also supporting our local four-year colleges and universities because those students typically transfer in state. Right now, about 80% of MCC students stay in the state of New York. So all of us benefit with that simple dollar investment in one of our students.
And that answers the question, I guess, how are we going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. Because you have to spend money to make money.
Absolutely.
And as you said, there is a, you know, the money funnels right back into the community with the success of the program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, just one other data point I'll give you is that we recognize that some of our students are coming from more difficult circumstances, mm-hmm. and that this is really the gateway to opportunity. There's certainly the Rochester Anti-Poverty Task Force that we're looking at. One of the figures that I think might surprise people is that the education provided at MCC saves our community over $4 million annually in the costs that might be associated with folks being on public assistance, being incarcerated, having significant health care challenges because they haven't been educated about nutrition. If you think about just that $4 million and what could this community do with that $4 million to help further itself or maybe even fix the pothole that I hit mm-hmm. driving over here,
yeah.
That's significant. That's a return on investment like no other.
And I think a lot of people don't understand that. The return on investment is the key here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this 15 minutes is spun by very, very quickly. Is there anything coming up at MCC in the month of April? Of course, graduation you mentioned.
Absolutely.
Coming up. Yeah.
Well, I would just give a highlight and a shout out to Scholars Day. At the end of April at MCC, we have Scholars Day. Our students are incredible, and they present their independent research in fields ranging from literature to physics to robotics to nursing. And everything in between. Dental hygiene,
yes.
Something that I think you're a little familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're very excited about that. And Nicholas Kristof from the New York Times will be our visiting scholar this year. He'll not just present a forum that which will be open to the public. They can find out more about Nicholas Kristof and his visit on our website. But he'll also sit down with our students and award them scholarships that they could win during Scholars Day. So I would encourage everyone to see about that aspect at MCC.
And again, full disclosure, my wife is working at MCC. Now, I think she's into her maybe 15th year.
Oh, my gosh.
She works as the coordinator of the mm-hmm. clinic in the dental hygiene mm-hmm. department. And I tell you all the time, she just loves her job at MCC.
Well, and that's a clinic, yeah. You know, to give praise to it, that serves thousands mm-hmm. of community members every year and provides free dental service to veterans.
Now, we had the folks in from St. Joseph's neighborhood just recently, and they told us how when the dental hygiene clinic was remodeled, all the old equipment went over to them. And that just shows the community involvement with MCC. It's a great, great arrangement.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us. Anytime you want to come in, I have this microphone reserved for you.
Thank you.
And I know I'll see you at graduation because
I
helped Julie out that day, and maybe we'll see you before that.
All right. Thank you very much.
You betcha.